The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Tes Vav, and we are on daf Kuf Tes Vav Amid Aleph, 8 lines from the top, continuing along the sugya of Mashkan. So as mentioned at length in the introduction to the sugya of Mashkan, which is mentioned many times in the Torah, Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Kisetze, and Parshas Kisetze itself, it's mentioned in 3 different places in Perek Chaf Dalet. That Mashkin is collateral that the Malva is forcing the Loiva to give him after the loan came due, and the Loiva didn't satisfy his obligation, poor the loan. So Reuven loaned money to Shimon, the loan was due in a year came and went, and there was no payment. So Reuven now goes to Shimon, and he wants to take something away from Shimon, albeit as collateral, so that he'll have some fallback in the event that the Loiva continues not to pay his loan. So that type of mashkin is governed by all the halachas mentioned in the Torah. However, if the collateral, the mashkin, was agreed upon, it was pledged at the time of the actual loan, then it's poshit that there would be no issue. An almana, a yasim, an ani, it doesn't matter who we're dealing with, the person would be allowed to pledge whatever they want. Just like an almana could sell her beged, there's no halacha that says she can't, she could pledge it as a mashkin as well. The whole issue is where it's after the loan was already due, it's sort of la'achar ha'maisa, that's when you have these halachas. Either way, another b'raisa. Tanu Rabbanu, le'savoy el beisoy lavoit avoitoy. The pasuk says that the malva is not allowed to enter the house of the loiva, lavoit avoitoy, to collect this mashkin. Says the Gemara, the Torah emphasizes beisoy, le'beisoy i'at nichnas, you're not allowed to enter the house of the loiva, nichnas le'beisoy shel orif. But if you'd like, you can enter the house of the Arif. So to the extent that there was a third person, a co-signer, he said that in the event that the loiva doesn't pay the loan, you can come to me, you can collect. There the halacha is that if the loan comes due, and the malva now wants to go to the Arif for payment, there he's allowed to even enter his house. And that's learned out because the Torah emphasized, le'savei el beisai, beisai referring to the loiva, but this third person, the Arif, his house, you would be able to enter. The pasuk says, "Lekach bigdoy ki arev zar," that if you want, you can take even the shirt off the back of an arev. Meaning, once somebody co-signs a loan, he's on the hook. In fact, we treat him more stringently than we treat the actual loiva. The loiva leisovei al beis lavet avoitai. The arev lekach bigdoy. You can enter his house. You can even take his baggage. For oimer, and there's another pasuk, mishle perik vav bini. Shlomo HaMelech talking, if you chose to be an Arif to your friend, you gave your friend a handshake, or if you said something to your friend where you tripped up and now you caused your friend some harm. So you're on the hook for your friend. Either as an Arev, you gave him a handshake for some agreement, you were Mevayashim, Asezois, Efoi, Beneva, Hinotzel. Then do one of the two following things to try to get out of this little predicament that you're in. Kibosa, Bekaf, Reyecha, Lech, Hisrapes, Virahav, Reyecha. What does that mean? Im, Momin, Yeshloi. So says the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech was saying that if you, this person who committed to your friend, has money, hater lo pisas yad, give him money, v'im lav. And if you don't have money, so you can't placate him that way, hir ba'olav reyim, then at the very least you should have friends, try to talk to him, and try to appease him. We just need one part of this pasuk. B'ni imarafta l'reyecha, the very first words. If you're an orev to your friend, realize that you're on the hook. This is something very real. And if you're not going to fulfill your obligation, then you're going to have to do something later. Either give him money, which potentially was the actual obligation, or at the very least, hear Baal of Rey and try to appease him. Because once you're an Arev, it's very, very real. And as it relates to this halacha, so it says in the Torah, Le'sobe al beisoy lavit avoitoy, it's only le'beisoy i'ato nichnas, avalato nichnas le'beisoy shal Arev. Le'tzad sheni, interesting words that the Gemara uses, but le'tzad sheni means, alternatively, another pshat, another drasha that we learned from the word beisai, lebeisai i'ata nichnas, avalata nichnas, you're not allowed to enter a loiva's house, but you could enter the house of someone that owes you money because of work that you did for him. L'schar kosef, l'schar chamar, l'schar pundik, l'schar duknoi. These are the different types of jobs that you may have done for somebody else. You have an employer, he owes you money. So we had the halachas of the employers. So here we say that even though the malva can't go to the loiva that owes him money, enter his house and take from him. That's the Savi al Beis Lavit Avoitai. But you can go to your boss into his living room and take out whatever it is you need or force him to pay you, because it's only lebeisai shel loiva, as opposed to lebeisai shel employer. Yochel, I would have thought that filu zakven olav b'milva. What if the employer told the employee that, herzog tzu, I know I owe you money because you did work for me. Let's take this or these wages that I owe you, repackage it, structure it now as a loan, and I'll have an IOU between me and you. Once you do that, I would have thought it's still okay for the employee to enter the house of the employer, because although right now technically it's a loan, but if you look at the history of this loan, it started off as regular wages, and maybe it should be okay. It should be nismayed from the base. It says in the Pasuk that you're not allowed to go in to take anything, even mashas ma'uma, even something small. What do we mean small? Even something that originally wasn't a loan, but if now it's a loan, so it's not small dollars and cents wise, but qualitatively, in terms of what makes it into a loan, it's ma'uma because it didn't originate as a loan. So Sokotai Techemina, that maybe the halachas shouldn't apply. Talmud Loimar, Mashas Ma'uma teaches us that these halachas will apply. So before we start the next Mishnah, so a lot of discussion here, these last two dafin regarding this loisaseh of loisavoy el besoy lavoit avoitoy. And the first drasha that the Gemara brought, el besoy, and the truth is, if you think about it at first glance, it would seem to be a very big chiddush. It would seem to make more sense that you have a right to enter the house of the loiva to collect payment for money that you gave him than the house of the arev. The loiva was the one who took the money. He spent it. He's the one that's really supposed to pay. He benefited from it. He looked you in the eye and lied to you. That would be the person that you would think you could enter his house and take whatever you need. The Arev, the person that had the goodness of his heart, decided to co-sign the loan. Okay, so he said he'll do it. Now that it didn't work out, it's dafke him that we're even more stringent with him, so it's somewhat hepech hasvara. You would think that it would be just the opposite. And I saw Rabbeinu Bechaya on this pasuk here in Parshas Kisetze. He says, v'hayoroi yoyser l'mashkin es haloiva. This point, you would think that it would make more sense to be memashkin the loiva sha'achal the shasa who bizbeis hamoyis yosim in ha'arev. She's like, boy, moyis liyada. He never had any benefit from the money. Avalatam bozeh. The reason for it is mipnei shehaloiva loylova elamitoicha doichik. At the end of the day, the loiva borrowed money. Why? Because he was desperate. Because he needed the money. The ha'arev nichnas arev. The arev, who was the arev, he walked in like a shisa mitoicha shefa. Oh, don't worry about it. I got you. If something ever happens, I'll pick it up. The Torah feels bad for the loiva. You're right, the loiva benefited from it, and it could be, in the big scheme of things, he's more wrong than the arev. But at the end of the day, we have rachmanis for the loiva. We don't have so much rachmanis for the arev, because the Torah, at the end of the day, looks out for the underdog. And we look at the loiva as being the underdog, we don't look at the arev as being the underdog. It's for that reason that you're not allowed to enter the house of the loiva. But you are allowed to enter the house of the Arif. It's interesting when Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about the general Isser. So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, v'hine zu midas rachmanis, like he concludes, but he says that the rachmanis here is that it's just not nice for somebody to walk into somebody else's house and start looking through his things. Really, you have no money? Let me see. Start opening up drawers, looking underneath mattresses. It's just not cool. It's something that's not nice. And the Torah had this feinkeit that le'sobei el beisai, a person should feel secure. He should feel that my house is off limits. I owe you money? Doesn't mean the world comes to an end. It doesn't mean that you have a right to start flipping my house upside down to try to find. It's a sensitivity that the Torah has. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, the Chinuch emphasizes the point a little bit differently. It says that people are going to start entering other people's houses. It's going to be a hefgevelt. A fight's going to break out. It may even come with a ritzicha. So the Chinuch looked at it more from the fighting perspective, that we don't want this anarchy to take place, that people are just walking into other people's houses and flipping over mattresses. Rabbeinu Bechaya looked at it more from the bishas. It's just not a fine, able thing to do, and you have to look out for the sensitivity to the loiva. But either way, you have this svara, which is somewhat counterintuitive, that we are more concerned with the sensitivity of the loiva, a little bit less concerned with the sensitivity of the arev. On a more lumdish note, the Mordechai, in the beginning of Perek HaMineach, the third Perek, the Masechtas Bava Kamma, asks a bomba kasha. And the truth is that when we learnt Perek HaMiniach, we spoke out part of this Mordechai, but this is Yagadol of Reyah. This is where everything comes together. So you learn long enough, and you go through enough, you see how everything sort of fits into place. Freik the Mordechai, a gewaldige kasha. He says, we had a sugya that says, Pasuk in the Torah, Loi Yitzavei El Beisai Lavet Avoit, stating that, Machlokes HaMeiram, the Shliach Bezdin, if a person went over to Bezdin and he says, listen, somebody borrowed money from me, he's not paying, deal with it. So Bezdin does have a right, Machlokes Shmuel, Lemeketanoi, there were two brises, the Shliach Bezdin may have a right to enter the house and go ahead and take it on behalf of the Malva. So fake the Mordechai Akasha, we know there's a sugi in the beginning of Perek HaMiniach, Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, and it's brought down a Shulchan Aruch, it's Kepaskin the Chesha Mishpat Simen Dalet, that a person, if he knows for sure that he's in the right, he has a right to act authoritatively. He can act as Bezdin, and he can go take matters into his own head. He doesn't have to wait until Bezdin comes. So fake the Mordechai, why can't the Malva enter the house of the Loiva to take that which is his, midin shliach bezdin, mitzad the koyach of Ovid Inish, dinu l'nafshe, to the extent that Bezdin would have a right to enter the Loiva's house, then the Malva himself should be able to enter the Loiva's house. Because the Malva can exercise his right to be Ovid dinu l'nafshe, he can put on his hat of shliach bezdin and let him enter of shliach bezdin. Azoy fik the Mordechai, a gewaldige kasha. And he says that this is a raya to a yesoy that he brings for Rabbeinu Meir, and he brings it for Rabbeinu Kloinim. It's different rishonim that said that there's a tremendous limitation in the halacha of Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe. The only time you say Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe is if there's something very specific that belongs to me and somebody else is taking it from me or is threatening to take it from me. So then Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe, I have a right to take it back or to prevent that person from taking it for me. But if there's this general obligation that somebody owes me money, I don't have a right to walk into his house or to be Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe to make sure that this person makes me whole for some abstract obligation that he may have. So if there's a chefetz mesuyim involved, if there's something very specific, Shimon took Reuven's thing. Reuven wants it back. So Reuven doesn't have to go to Bezdin and Hasmonas and go through the rigors of the legal system until he's going to get his chefetz back. Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe. He has a right to go and take his chefetz back by himself. But if there's a more general obligation, we're not going after something misuyam. It's not something specific. Then you don't have the halach of Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe. Zok the Mordechai. You know what the best raya to Rabbeinu Meir and Rabbeinu Kloinimus is? This sugi right here, that answers the kasha. Because over here, there's nothing specific that the Malva is trying to take from the Leiva. The Malva loaned the Leiva money a year ago. And that money's not around anymore. Right now, there's an obligation that the Leiva has towards the Malva. So the Malva says, listen, I'm going to go into the Leiva's house, I'll take a mashkin, I'm going to take something with me like this, I'll make sure that I have some payment in the event that nothing ever comes. See, not going after a Dover Mesuyim, you're going after it because it's a general obligation that he has towards you. But Gai Gavna, you don't say Ovid Inish Dino L'Nafshe. When we learned Perek HaMiniach, we spoke out this Yisoy from the Mordechai. We didn't mention this Raya, but we did mention another Makar that the Mordechai brings, and that is from a Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Hei Amud Beis. Much lighter Gemara. The Gemara tells the following story. Rav Huna Tekifulei Arba Meyadoni Dechamra. Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine, and the wine went bad. Olgabei Rabbi Yehuda, Achud Rav Sala Chasida, V'Rabbanon, V'Amrilo Rav Adabar Hava, V'Rabbanon. Either way, the Amiram came to Rav Huna, V'Amrilo, they told Rav Huna. Rav Huna was really disappointed about what happened, and they told him, La'ayin mar b'mile. Rav Huna, you have to look in a little bit, see what went on over here. Amal Husi told him, Micha Shidna Be'Naichu, you want me to make a cheshbon anefesh? I should sit down and see if there's anything wrong that I did. In other words, you're suggesting that maybe I did something wrong. Amrilo said, they told him, I hear. Good point. But should we be cheshed Hashem? Hashem caused this to happen to you. So Hashem must have had a cheshbon. So somebody's in the wrong. So it must be you. It's certainly not Hashem. I'm a loser. He told him, if there's anyone that heard anything that doesn't even pass the smell test, that may be a little bit off, I want them to know. So they told him, we came prepared. I'll tell you what we heard. We heard that you have an aris, so we're learning Perek HaMakavo, and you didn't pay your aris. Do you know my aris? My aris steals from me on a regular basis. And to tell you the truth, I can go after him in court, and I can destroy this guy. I just don't want to. But at the very least, I have to give him all the shabisha. I have to give him everything that I owe him. So I held back a little bit. Amrulayza, they told him, this is what people mean when they say, if you want to taste what it's like to be a ganav, steal from a ganav. Meaning, just because you're taking from someone that technically owes you, doesn't mean that it's not Geneva. Amar lahu, so he told him, Kabil no lai, I'm a Kabul, the Hivna lay, that I'm going to give him everything I owe. Ikadami, some say, Hadar Chala, that his wine became good, the Havachamra, the Ikadami, and some say, Ayakra Chala was not a bit mechamra, that the Ness wasn't, that the vinegar turned into wine, the Ness was that the price of vinegar went up, so at the end of the day, Rav Huna didn't lose anything. Either way, Freik the Martchai, I don't understand. Rav Huna had an aris. The aris was stealing from him. Why did Rav Huna not have a right to now withhold things that he owed him? Ovid inish dina lenafshe. It's a very nice Gemara. The Gemara says, Haidu damri inchi. Now we understand this Yerushalayim Morak. This was in Bavel. This Babylonian saying that if you want to taste a little bit what it's like to be a ganav, take from a ganav. You're not going to be a real ganav, but take from a ganav. What do you mean? Why is that a ganav? Why is that a srach geneva? The teretz is, Rav Huna wasn't taking back what the Oris took from him. The Oris had been stealing from him for years. Rav Huna turned a blind eye. Now he had an opportunity to take a little bit more. He thought he was in the right because this person owed him so much anyways. But that's not Avedinish Dino Lanafshe. Avedinish Dino Lanafshe is only when you're taking a Dover Mesuyim. If you're not taking a Dover Mesuyim, you have no right to do it. This Martcha, incidentally, is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in the Ramah, Cheshemishpat, Simon Dalitz of Cotton Aleph. The Ramah Paskins as a Yesh Oimim, this sheet is a Martcha, that the only time you say, and if you look at the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, the Birak Gra, it says, what's the Makar? Brachas Hayom Beis. Truth is, we have another Makar. The Makar is Bava Metzia, Daf, Kuf Yudalad, Kuf Tezvav. It's really Psukim in the Torah that there's a halach of Leisavi El Beisoy Lavit Avoitoy, the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to. Why can't the Malva act as a Shliach Bezdin? The teretz is because Bikahai Gavna, where we're not going after a Chefetz Mesuyim, you don't say, Ovid Inish dina lenafshe. Incidentally, I saw the Ben Yoyada says, Rav Huna tekifulei arba mei adoni dechamra, 400 barrels of wine. He said, why 400? So this is one of our themes. 400 is the number of Ayin Hara. Ayin Ra is the gematria of 400. You find this idea of Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim for 400 years, that Ayin Hara is manifest very often with 400. And that's why Rav Huna was punished, that he lost out 400 Dani Dechamra. But I saw another Ha'ara that the Ben Yoyada asks. And that is, they came in, the Rabbanon, and they told him, La'ayin mar b'mile. Mile literally means words. Mile le'memsrin l'shliach. Really, what they should have said was, La'ayin mar b'uvde. Let's take a look at what you're doing. What you're saying, what you're doing. So I saw the Magalim Chadashim, he says a very nice pshat. He says that Rav Huna himself said in Perek Mavai Mavlikin, in Mesechta Shabbos, Omer Rav Huna, Ner Beisoy, Harogel B'ner, Havelon Bonim Talmidei Chachamim. If somebody is Rogel B'ner, he's going to have Bonim that are Talmidei Chachamim. Hazor B'mezuzah, Zaychel L'dira No. Hazor B'tzitzis, Zaychel Talis No. Hazor B'kiddush Hayoyim, someone that's careful, he makes Kiddush. Zaychel U'memali Gar B'yayin. This person is going to have a lot of wine. There's going to be a lot of bracha in his yayin. So they came and they told him, you Rav Huna are the one that always says, one of Rav Huna's hashtags, he always said that if someone's Zogor B'kiddush, he's going to have Gar B'yayin. And now all of a sudden Rav Huna's wine went bad. Something's wrong. La'ayin mar b'mile. Rav Huna, are you practicing what you're preaching? That's what they asked him. How is it possible that you, who always talk about how to protect wine, suddenly your wine went bad? Something doesn't make sense. So, la'ayin mar b'mile. There's a chesaron over here. Something's off. So he told him back, really? If there's anyone that knows of an example where I wasn't Zohar B'Kiddush, let me know. And says the Megillah Chadashim, it's based on a Gemara Mefuresh, it's Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amidbeis, where the Gemara says that Rav Huna was so careful when it came to the mitzvah of Kiddush. Rav Huna was another Irish Mekayim. He was someone that practiced what he preached. He talked about it and he did it. Why then did this happen? It was because of this Maisa that happened with the Aris. Either way, there's some more lumdus on this note, but we'll leave it from here. Zok to Gemara, Zok to Mishnah, Mono, Pein Chehi Aniyo, it's a very short and to the point Mishnah. The Pasuk said, one of the many Psukim that talk about the Isser of taking a... One of the many Psukim that govern the laws of Mashkin are Leisachbo Beged Almana. You're not allowed to take the Beged from an Almana as a Mashkin. So somebody else's Beged maybe be allowed to take, but an Almana you have to be more sensitive to. So if she borrowed money, even though she owes you, and even though she's in the wrong, it doesn't matter. The Torah says Leisachbo Beged Almana. Says the Mishnah, it doesn't matter if she's a poor Almana or if she's a wealthy amana, the halach is a mamashkin noisa. Tanu rabbanan. Almana bein she ani bein she ashira a mamashkin noisa. The Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda is the Tanu of our Mishnah. He is the one that says that this halach is true regardless of the financial status of this amana. Rabbi Shimon Omer ashira if she's a wealthy woman mamashkin noisa. Ania a mamashkin noisa. And the reason is because if she's a poor woman, then you're going to have to give her back the mashkin every day, every night, depending on what it is you took, right? That's one of the psukim that the Torah says, that if you take the loiva's beged, you're allowed to take it, but you have to return it when he's going to need it. So if it's a ksus yoim, you have to give it back to him by alois ha-shachar. If it's a ksus laili, you have to give it back to him by shkiyas ha-chama. So if you took a beged now from an almana, you would have no choice but to constantly be in the almana's house every day, twice a day. You're going to come to pick it up, and you're going to come to return it. She's an almana. She doesn't have a husband. And you know what people are going to say? People are going to think that something inappropriate is going on. So it's for that reason the Torah said, Le'sachpo beged almana. So said Rav Shimon, that if you understand time of the crop, the underlying reason why the Torah doesn't want you to take a mashkin from an almana, you'll realize that it only applies to an aniya, it doesn't apply to a shira. So said Rav Shimon, even though in the pasuk it doesn't say anything about poor almana, wealthy almana, but zilbasar taima, the reason for it is not to be moitzi las, not to be moitzi shemra on this almana, and it's for that reason that ashira memashkin anoisa, it's only aniya a memashkin anoisa. Fake the gemara, the memra, what would then emerge from this machloik is this bryce is Rabbi Yehuda Leidarish time of the crow. Rabbi Yehuda is not Leidarish time of the crow. Rabbi Shimon Leidarish time of the crow. Rabbi Shimon was Leidarish time of the crow, so he said the time of the crow only makes sense for an aniya, doesn't make sense for an ashira. Rabbi Yehuda was Leidarish time of the crow, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter if she's aniya, it doesn't matter if she's an ashira. But we know it's just the opposite. Tanya, we learned in the Braise, so it says in the Torah regarding a melech, so we need the beginning of the pasuk. The Torah said v'layarbalei noshin. So back in the day, before Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershon, polygamy was okay. A person can marry multiple wives. A melech who was wealthy certainly had the wherewithal to have as many wives as he wanted. Stating that, the Torah said v'layarbalei noshin. And then the Torah added, V'lo yasser levavai. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said, that V'lo yasser levavai is explaining the loisasei of loyar b'lo yinoshin. Meaning, marbo, if he wants, he can have as many wives as he wants. U'bevach layu mesiris as liboy. As long as he's careful, and he doesn't get too crazy where his wives are going to start messing with his head and start turning him away from Hashem. V'lo yasser levavai is the time of the crow. So if it's going to come to v'lo yasser levavai, then lo yar b'lo yinoshin. But otherwise, he can have as many wives as he wants. Rav Shimon says no. Afilu achas v'misiras libay harez lo yisena. If there's a little bit of a concern that your wife may lead you astray, then even one wife would be yasser. It doesn't have to be v'lo yar b'lo. Afilu kavi gayel. Even if she's going to be the eshes chayel miyimtza, it doesn't matter. You can't have too many eshes chayels either. Incidentally, how much is too many? 18. That's somehow the cutoff line. But either way, la'ila, but what do you see from here? That Rabbi Yehuda is Darish time of the crow, and Rabbi Shimon is Lo Darish time of the crow. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, Lo Yarba Lo Noshim, time of the crow, V'lo Yasser Levavai. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Even Kavigayel, meaning he's not being Darish time of the crow. It's the exact opposite from our sugya. Zok the Gemara, very partial. Lo Yarba Lo Darish time of the crow. Rabbi Yehuda really is Lo Darish time of the crow. And that's why by the Leisase of Leisachbo Begad Almana, Rabbi Yehuda said, Bein She'aniya, Bein She'ashira. He doesn't care what the underlying, we don't Darshan time of the crow. V'shani Haka, how come with regards to Lo Yarba Lo Noshim, he does Darish time of the crow? Because there the Torah says a reason, the Mefarish Krah, V'lo yar b'lo yinoshim, V'lo yasser. My time of lo yar b'lo yinoshim, Mishum de lo yasser. There the Torah gave the time of the Krah. Meaning, lo yisach b'lo gamon, the Torah doesn't say why. You want to make up a reason and come up with this phenomenal kula and say that it only applies to an aniya, it doesn't apply to an ashira, that you have no right to do. But over there by lo yar b'lo yinoshim, where the Torah itself gave us a time of the Krah. So that's a game changer. That's a whole different story. Reb Shimon, what about Reb Shimon? It's just the opposite. Mechti. Ba'alma, there's the time of the Krah. Reb Shimon says, I really am Darish time of the crow. Lichta Brahmana la Yarba, for like being a layasar. So freight Rab Shimon, why did Terry have to give a reason? I could have figured out the reason by myself. Because I'm Dirish time of the crow. Vanoyodano, I wouldn't know. My time of the Yarba Mishum the Layasar. Layasar, the cause of Rahman alamali. So why did Terry give a reason? You know what the answer is? I feel like a serious libay haraza lo yisena. It's probably coming to tell me two independent halachas. Number one, Layarba Lay Noshin. Period. Afilu Kavigayo. Number two, v'layaser. One wife that may be meser as lipcha is a problem. But either way, layaser is not the reason for layaber le'noshim. Because the Torah doesn't have to give me a reason for layaber le'noshim. Because as it relates to layaber le'noshim, the reason for it, I'd be able to figure out myself. And even if what would emerge from that is a kula, that's okay. Because that's Reb Shimon's shita, the Reb Shimon's derish time of the Kra. So bottom line, this is a well-known gemara, machlekes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, that's mentioned in several places in Shas. Whether with Dairish time of the Kra or with Loi Dairish time of the Kra. Reb Shimon is Dairish time of the Kra. Reb Yehuda is Loi Dairish time of the Kra. At first glance, if you learn the Sugya of Leisachlo, Begad Amana, you would think that maybe it's just the opposite. It's somewhat misleading because it sounds like Reb Yehuda is the one that's Dairish time of the Kra and Reb Shimon is the one that's not Dairish time of the Kra, but really, says the Gemara, in reality, it's just the opposite. Reb Shimon is always Dairish time of the Kra. Reb Yehuda is Lo'oilam. Loi Darish time of the Kra. So just a few things. Number one, it's important to realize that when Reb Shimon is quoted in Shas as being the Tana that's Darish time of the Kra, the Yisoid of Reb Shimon is, or the Chiddush of Reb Shimon is not that Reb Shimon holds that there's a reason for mitzvahs, and that you have a right to try to figure out what the time of the Kra is, and that it's something you could spend time on trying to understand. No, no, no. Everybody agrees that there's a time of the Kra. And everybody agrees that you have a right to sit down and it's a good exercise to try to understand time of the Kra. The nafkamina between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda is Reb Shimon says that once you figure out what the time of the Kra is, you now have a right to start tweaking the actual halacha. And you can come up with a tremendous kula if you want, such as the halacha of almana that it applies only to an ani and it doesn't apply to an ashir. That's something that you would have a right to do. Meaning that the time of the Kra governs the actual halacha in the Torah. And you have a right to emerge with a nafkamina lahalacha, a nafkamina lahalacha lakula. But as it relates to there being a time of the Kra, of course there's a time of the Kra. Everybody agrees there's a time of the Kra. That's not Reb Shimon's Chiddush. Reb Shimon's Chiddush that is Dairish time of the Kra is that the time of the Kra can impact the halacha lakula. That's the Chiddush of Reb Shimon. So again, everybody agrees that there's a time of the Kra, and everybody agrees that we could be Dairish time of the Kra, and it could be even Lahalacha as it relates to a Chumra, everybody would agree we could be Dairish time of the Kra. Really, with the Machloikis, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, the Chiddush of Reb Shimon is that we could be Dairish time of the Kra, and we could even be Dairish time of the Kra Le Kula, that you can emerge with a Kula and say that I know why the Torah said Le'sachu Begad Almana. It's related to the fact that you're going to be Moitzi Shem Rabbi Shechein Oseh. Why are you being Moitzi Shem Rabbi Shechein Oseh? Because you have to deposit and take back the mashkin twice a day. You're going to constantly be by this woman who's not your wife. People are going to start spreading rumors. That's only true for an aniya, where you're going to have to give back the mashkin, because an ashira, you wouldn't have to give back the mashkin. He's Dairish time of the Kra, and he walks away with a kula. He says, you want to take a mashkin from an almana ashira? Gesundheit, you have a right to do that. That's a gewaldige chiddush. See, he's being Dairish time of the Kra lekula. That's Reb Shimon's chiddush. But as it relates to the actual being Dairish time of the Kra, that's something that's okay. And if you're not sure, there's a Lashon HaRambam, we've spoken about this Lashon HaRambam many times in the daf, in the end of Hilchas Me'ilah, it's Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, the very last Sifkotan in Rambam, in Hilchas Me'ilah, the Rambam says as follows, Ro'i la'odam lehispoinei b'mishpatei ha'Torah, it's appropriate for a person to think about the laws of the Torah, HaKadosha, v'lei da'saif in yonam k'fi koichen, to try to understand the reasons behind the Mishpatei ha'Torah as best as possible. V'dovash lo'yimotze le'itat, anything that you don't understand, you're going to come across a mitzvah, shatness. I don't understand shatness. Makes no sense. Pasuv v'cholav, why can't I eat a cheeseburger? What in the world is the big deal? Al yehei kal be'enav, it shouldn't suddenly become kal and lenient in your eyes. Val yaharis lalois al Hashem, pen yifritz boy. V'leitei machshavte boy kemachshavte b'shar divreichol. And then the Rambam has a whole arichos, and he talks about how careful you have to be with the place of mitzvahs inside your mind. Meaning, the Rambam says, the more a person understands a mitzvah, the more chashivas he's going to give the mitzvah. And for that reason, says the Rambam, it's a great exercise, something you should do. Because you should try to understand the mitzvah so that you'll be machshav it more. How does it come into Hilchos Me'ilah? Because the whole idea of Me'ilah is you have to be careful with how you treat a Dovah Shel Hekdesh. So says the Rambam, Madach Eitzim Vavonim, that a person was machdesh. You have to be so careful with how you treat it. If you have Anna, Shava Pruta, Filib Shoyig, you have to bring a carbon, Hashem Me'ilah is. So Kalvachayim, Mishpatei HaTorah, which came from Hashem, it's the Dvar Hashem, Oy Reis of Yisrova Kutchabrich Uchad, you certainly have to be careful, you have to be sensitive with how you go ahead and how you treat it. Either way, the Rambam says, this is the halacha part of the Rambam. In other words, the Rambam's saying, be Doirish time of the crop. That's what the Rambam's saying. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. We pass in like the Chachamim. We pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. Although, if you take a look, there's a Kesef Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Yibayis Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, where the Kesef Mishnah seems to suggest maybe we do pass like Rabbi Shimon. But nobody holds that way. We pass in Kipshutei like Rabbi Yehuda. That's not Doirish time of the crop. How do you understand it with this Rambam? The Teretz is Rabbi Shimon's Chiddush of being Doirish time of the crop is just that you can walk away with an Afkimina Lalocha Lakula. But as it relates to being Doirish time of the crop, that's something that you certainly should do. The Ramban, another really good Maramokin, the Ramban in Parshas Kitzetze, by the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, has an arichus gedoyla, like he sometimes does, with regards to the importance of understanding time of the Kra. The Ramban says that when the Torah says, Ki yikori kan sipar lufanecho, loisikacho, eim alabonim, right, shaleach teshalach esoim, and only afterwards, the habonim tikach loch, says the Ramban, you know what the yesod of this iser is? He says it's the same as the loisa say in the Torah of oisoy ve'espinoy loisishchatu b'yom echad ki atam b'shneim levilti hayos lanu leiv achzar v'leinu rachim. Torah doesn't want us to be an achzar. Oy, this is interesting. Shloyater hakosav lasoy hashchos alakir hamin. The Torah doesn't want us to destroy a min, to make a specific species extinct. And that's something that the Torah was very sensitive to. Even though shchita is okay, so we're not animal rights activists, but to a certain degree, we do look out for the animals. And if there's a certain species that we think we can cause to be extinct by our actions, I don't know if the Ramban would say that you can't drill for oil in Alaska. Not sure how far this goes. But there is a sensitivity. And says the Ramban, he's causing, on some level, the destruction of that species, and that's something, says the Ramban, is not okay. Either way, the Ramban is giving a reason for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, and he says it's the same reason as the mitzvah of Oisev Espenoy Vaisishchatu B'yoymechot. Says the Ramban, because of Harav, B'moyer Nevoichim, he says the Rambam and the Moir Nebuchim also spoke about what the reason is for Shiluach HaKan. He also equated it to the mitzvah of Oisev Espenoy Loisishchatu V'yemecha, but he gave a different reason. Listen to the Lashon HaRambam. Kidei lehizor shlei nishchat haben le'ineyam. You know what the Torah didn't want? Oisev Espenoy, the Yisoid is, the Torah doesn't want you to shech the child in the eyes of its parent. Ki yesh lo behema is daiga gedoy lebezeh, says the Rambam. Animals also have feelings. Ve'ein hefresh bein daigas ha'odom le'daigas ha'behemes ha'labonim. Ki ahaves ha'ein v'chanoysa levnei bitna in a nimshach achra ha'secha v'adibor. He says, emotions don't come from the intellect, so that you can argue that being that animals are intellectually inferior, they don't have a koyach ha'dibor, their seichel is not the same as ours, so maybe they don't have the same feelings. Avu mipulas koyach ha'machshova ha'metsuya ba'behemo is kachay mitsuya ba'odom. Ve'im kein, says the Rambam, ein ikra iser ba'isav ez b'noi rak b'bnoi v'oisai. The real iser of Oisei Vesbenoi was don't shech the child and then shech the mother. Because we don't want the mother to see you shechting the son. If you would do it in the reverse, maybe it would be okay. The Torah said, Oisei Vesbenoi, le'sishchatu b'yemecha. But the point is, that's the yisoid of the iser, and that's the same thing for Shiluach HaKan. Regardless, the Ramban and the Rambam, they have different reasons, but they both say there's a reason for Shiluach HaKan. Says the Rambam, Va'al toshev olai, you're going to ask me Akasha, I'm giving a reason for Shiluach HaKan. You're going to tell me I'm going kineged the Gemara Mefureshes. What's this Gemara? Very pertinent to our sugya. It's a Mishnah in the Sechtes Brachis, Taflam and Gimel Amad Beis. Ha'omer, if somebody says, Al kan sipa yagir rachamecha, va'al toiv yizocher shmecha, or moidem moidem, any one of those three things, meshaskinoisi, we call them down. What's the first thing? Al kan sipa yagir rachamecha. We tell Hashem that just like you had Rachmanos on the tzipa, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, you see Hashem, you had compassion for the tzipa, So too, you should have compassion on us. If somebody says that, says the Gemara, my time, there were two Amiram in Eretz Yisrael that debated this issue. Rabbi Yosi bar Abin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvido. Because you're being matal kinab and ma'aseh bereshis. The only time there's a mitzvah shulach hakan is if it's a tzipa. What if it's some other animal, some other species? You don't find it in the Torah. So no, just don't make too much of a fuss over it. Because you're being matal kinab and ma'aseh bereshis. The Chadam, the other one said, Mimnesha oisem yidoisem shalakadosh baruch hu rachamim. The Inun el Xeris. Because you're suggesting that the yisoid of shulach hakan is that we feel bad for the animal. It's not feeling bad for the tzipa. In an Alexeros. It's not because of Rachman. Oh, it's not because of Rachman, because of Xeris. That's what Mishaskinoi say. Because what you're saying is wrong. It's foolish. It's not the MS. Thus, Mishaskinoi say, Freak the Rambam Alain in the Meir Nevuchim. So how could I say that the reason for Shiloh HaKan and for Oysenes when Elay Sishchat B'yem Echad is related to us having compassion for the animal? And better yet, the Rambam spent so much time in Meir Nevuchim explaining Tameya Mitzvahs. You have a Mefurish Gemara. Einon el Xeris. Mitzvahs are Xeris. They're rituals. They're things that we just do. So how do I have a right to go Keneged a Gemara Mefureshes? Says the Rambam. You know what the answer is? Pligu Batrei Amayroi. It's a Machloikis. Daika Pligi. It's not two answers. It was a Machloikis. Pligi ba bimarova. There was a machloikis amayram. I don't paskin like that amayra. I paskin like the other amayra. The Rambam reconciled a lot of machloikis in the chas by taking one side. I'm taking sides. You're right. According to that man, the Amar, that says, Rachmemu ve'in el exeros, according to him, I'm wrong. There's no mayra nevuchim. You're 100% right. What I said in the end of Hilchas Me'ilo makes no sense. Roy la'odom lizboin and v'leid. No, it makes no sense. There is no Tamei mitzvahs. But I don't pass like that man domer. I pass like another man domer. See, a heavier Gemara talked away. Brach Islam and Gimel Amid Beis had to understand the Mishnah. Al kan sipa yagir rachamecha mishaskinoi. So at first glance, you would never think that this has global ramifications. But in fact, this is one of the most important Gemaras in Shas. Is there a reason for us doing what we do? Meaning, a reason that we can understand? Is it something that could and is supposed to make sense to us? Pligi ba trei amayroi. Rabbi Yosi bar Abin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. The Rambam paskin like the one that holds that there is a reason. Why meshaskin oisai b'dei shematul kinab amayis abarishis. And it's for that reason, says the Rambam, I wrote the Meir Nevuchim, and I hold that Tamei mitzvahs is something that you're allowed to look into. Just one interesting na'ara as it relates to Rav Shimon, who's Derish time of the cross. So there's just so much here because it touches on so many sugis, but one light thing, Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, that we just have to speak out. And that is, we're all familiar with the last mitzvah in the Torah. And that's the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. It's a mitzvah's Taryag. Mitzvah Aleph is Pur Vu. Mitzvah's Taryag. Fast forward all the way to the end. Is mitzvah's Ksiva Sefer Torah. So you do the Shita Sarash. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Ayin or Ayin Reish. The Rosh said that Zmanenu, one is Mekayim, the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah, by writing Sfarim. Ha'idna mitzvah lichtav chumshei Torah, u'mishnah, u'gemara, u'perusheim, v'lo yimkareim, emlo yimlumay Torah, v'lisa isha. So today the mitzvah is to write Sfarim. The Taz, the Shach, both bring a nidin in the poskim, whether when the Rosh said that ha'idna mitzvah lichtav chumshei Torah, did the Rosh mean to say that there's no mitzvah to write Sefer Torah today? Meaning the Rosh was saying something that made sense. He said that once upon a time, people used to learn from a Sefer Torah. Thus, there was a mitzvah to have a Sefer Torah. If you don't have a Sefer Torah, you can't have a chavrusa, you can't learn. So you're going to battle. That's not good. So in order to learn, you had to have a Sefer Torah. Thus, there's a mitzvah to say, day right, so write a Sefer Torah. Today, we don't learn from Sefer Torah. Care? It's a bizarre, maybe even to learn from a Sefer Torah, the poets can say. So how do you learn today? You learn from Svarim. So, Zilbaser time. Today would make sense to write Svarim. So did the Rush mean to say that there is no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah? Or maybe the Rush didn't mean that. He meant to say that there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, just like there always was. But ha'idna, in addition to there being a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, is also a mitzvah to write Sfarim. The Beis Yosef says for a Dover Pashat that the Rush did not mean to say there's no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So if somebody spends the money, hires someone, writes a Sefer Torah, he's mekayim the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah. It just so happens that you could buy Baba Basra Gemara and also be mekayim the mitzvah. You don't have to write a Sefer Torah. Because ha'idna, we learn Torah from Sfarim, and as long as you buy or write something that people learn from, that's enough for you to be mekayim the mitzvah. The Taz argues, Shach argues, so it's a big machloek. Says, I don't understand the shaila. What's the tzad to tell me that today you're not making the mitzvah writing a Sefer Torah, you're writing by writing Sfarim? Zilbasa taima. So you're going to be derish time of the kura, and you're going to come out with a kula. You're going to tell me once upon a time writing a Sefer Torah was the mitzvah. Now, no, we changed the halacha. It's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. We're not Derish time of the Kra. So if we're not Derish time of the Kra, you can never come out with a Kula based on time of the Kra. And what's the Kula? The Kula is going to be that I want to be Mekayim Mitzvah Tafresh Yud Gimel. I was Mekayim it by buying Gemaras. I don't have to buy a Sefer Torah. That's a Kula. And you have no right to issue a Kula based on time of the Kra. So if we pass like Rabbi Shimon Memela, but we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. Abino, we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. There's no way you can come away and say this. It's Poshit. Dr. Chassam Soifer, the Beis Yosef is right. I don't understand the whole Arichas and the Shach and the Taz. Of course he's right. The Rosh was being Derish time of the Kra. So if you want to be Derish time of the Kra, the Chumrah says the Chassam Sofer that you have a right to do. You want to tell me you could be, you also should write Svar and Memela. But to tell me that you don't have to do something that once upon you had to do, which by definition is a Kula based on time of the Kra, that's Rav Shimon 101. And of course, we don't pass like Rav Shimon. And then he adds a Dover Nifla. Then he adds, and he says that we know that the only way you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah Sefer Torah is if you write the Sefer Torah Bishlei Musa. If you miss one ois, a letter, any little thing in the Sefer Torah, maybe even a tag, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah Sefer Torah. As a matter of fact, we once spoke out when we learned Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed, we mentioned this Barichos, the Shagasarius Chiddush. He says that the reason people are not so noyig b'zman hazeh to write Sefer Torah, he says because he doesn't think it's shaykh to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because the Gemara says the Kedushin Daf Lamed Amar Alf that Anan loy b'kim b'chseres v'yaseres. So there's a lot of words we don't know exactly how to write. And being we don't know how to write those words, it's for that reason that we're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because Chinuch in Mitzvah Tariyag is Sovachol of Kekruchio. He has major problems with this. Shagasaya, he says, if we're not Mekayim Mitzvahs Ksivas Sefer Torah, because we don't know Chaserus, we say maybe we're not Mekayim Mitzvahs Tefillin either. Don't Tefillin also have to be written properly? So it's a beautiful Minchas Chinuch. We spoke this out once, but Arichus Gedoy, we've probably spoken out more than once. But either way, the reality is that in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, you have to write the Sefer Torah perfectly. Says the Chassam Sofer, if that's the case, I would argue that if you say, I don't want to write a Sefer Torah, it's too expensive. Instead, I'll buy Gemaras. Whoa. If writing the Sefer Torah requires you to write the whole Sefer Torah, then I would think that if you want to be Mekayim with Torah Shebaal Peh, you have to write or you have to buy the whole Torah Shebaal Peh. So says the Chassam Sofer, good luck, because that's really not possible. Because there's no one in the world that even knows how to tarish in the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, called Tag, Bechol Kutzer Shel Yud, even if you can get really close. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Torah. At the end of the day, it's an impossibility. Thus, it's taken not shayach to be Mekayim the Rosh Bishlei Musa. He says, why should the Rosh's Torah Shebaal Peh be treated any differently than the Torah Shebaksav? And just like the Torah Shebaksav, you write most of a Sefer Torah, or a good chunk of a Sefer Torah, we understand you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. L'chur, the same should be true with regards to Torah Shebaksav. Either way, interesting svara from the Chassam Sofer. I'll tell you one other thing. This week was the Ksav Sofer's yard site. So the Ksav Sofer, I saw once in a tshuva, asks on the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says that the Yesoid of Mitzvah, Smilu, the Rambam brings it, that the reason Hashem commanded Avram Avinu and his descendants a mitzvah of Mila is to be memayit taivas hamishkol, to take away some of the taiv of tashmish hamita. So the Ksav Sofer is very bothered with this Rambam. The Ksav Sofer says that I don't understand. We know there's a mitzvah of hatofas dam bris. So if there's a mitzvah of hatofas dam bris and hatofas dam bris is something that could be even a regular mitzvah, so I say do iraisi mekayim mitzvah Mila, over there you're not being memayit taivas hamishkol. Over there the person was born without the arla. So if he was born without the arla, and there's no mir ten taivas hamishkol, and still you see there's a mitzvah of mila. Elamayit has nothing to do with taivas. My point is, there's a lot of different. I mentioned that because it's Ksav Sofer's yard site. But the point is that there's a lot of different places where you find that this comes up. Just one final vart, and that is the Tzidur. Meir Shapiro said that Reb Shimon said halacha esav seina yakov. Halacha esav seina yakov. First, it's not a halacha. And why would he use the word halacha? He said, because we know Reb Shimon's Derish time of the Kra. And Reb Shimon said, everything has a reason. We can understand the reason of everything. Reb Shimon is Derish time of the Kra. He said, but there's one thing that makes no sense. Esav Seine Yaakov. So Reb Shimon, even me, that I'm Derish time of the Kra, halacha Esav Seine Yaakov. And there've been philosophers and chachamim and thinkers and theologians that have tried figuring out over the ages, why is it that Esav Seine Yaakov, it's jealousy, it's this, it's that. At the end of the day, it's one of the mysteries of the world. It really makes no sense. It defies logic. But the bottom line is this idea of Esav Seine Yaakov, it's halacha. The Gemara says that why was Harsinai called Harsinai? Sheyarda Sina Lo'ilam, because Sina came down to the world. There really is no reason. We can think and we can theorize, but at the end of the day, even Reb Shimon, who was Derish time of the Kra, even Reb Shimon said, halacha, Esav Seine Yaakov. Let's just start the next Mishnah. So another one of the laven that you find in the mitzvah of Mashkin is, layachvol rechayim varechef, Ki nefesh hu chayvel. So even though you're allowed to take a mashkin, but you shouldn't take a person's rechayim or his rechev. Those were the two millstones in the rechayim. Don't take things that he uses for his livelihood. And then the pasuk concludes, ki nefesh hu chayvel, because it's something that he needs for his parnasa. Achayvel is a rechayim. Somebody takes a rechayim over mishum lo yisase. He's over a lo yisase. Vechayev mishum shnei kelim. Shenema lo yachbo rechayim v'rechev. Meaning the rechayim was made up of a rechayim and a rechev. Those were the two components of the rechayim. Thus, you'd be over to lavin. V'loy rechayim v'rechev bovad amru. Not only are you over lo yachbo rechayim and lo yachbo rechev, ela kol dover she'oisim b'yoichal nefesh shenema ki nefesh v'yoichal. If somebody takes something else that somebody uses for parnasa, somebody's a baker and you take his oven, so you'd be over the isser there too. Meaning, that's the conclusion of the pasuk. Lo yachbo rechayim v'rechev ki nefesh v'yoichal. There's a time of the Korah. It's because this is what he uses for his parnasa. So, good. If you take somebody's parnasa away, even if it's not a rechayim or rechev, you'll be over the isser. Amar Rav Huna, chava rechayim. If somebody just takes a rechayim, like Yishtayim, he gets malchus twice. Mishum rechayim, u'mishum ki nefesh u'oichel. In other words, Rav Huna was darshaning that when the pasuk concludes and says ki nefesh u'oichel, it's a separate lav. Lo yachvo rechayim, lo yachvo rechev, and lo yachvo dovar she b'nefesh u'oichel. So if somebody takes a rechayim, he's over rechayim. If you take a rechav, you're over rechav. If you take anything that brings a person parnasa, you're over ki nefesh u'oichel. It's a separate lav. Yachlo is going on that too. It's not just the reason for the two lavim that I mentioned in the pasuk. We actually look at it as a third lav. So if somebody takes rechayim, he's over the first lav, and he's also over the general lav. The Gemara is going to call a lav shebeklolois of ki nefesh u'oichel. If somebody takes a rechav, he's over the lav of rechev and ki nefesh u'oichel. So again, inside. Amar Rav Huna, chava rechayim. If somebody takes a rechayim, loike shtayim. Mishum rechayim, u'mishum ki nefesh u'oichel. Rechayim v'rechev. If somebody takes a rechayim and a rechev, loike sholish. Mishum rechayim v'rechev, u'mishum ki nefesh u'oichel. Meaning, what Rav Huna is saying is that in addition to the layach v'rechayim, in addition to the layach v'rechev, there's also a lav of ki nefesh u'oichel. And if you take rechayim or rechev, you'll be over ki nefesh u'oichel. Meaning, that's poshut that if you would take the baker's oven, you'd be over ki nefesh u'oichel. The chiddush is that even if you take rechayim, or you're anyways being over lo yachlo rechayim, you're still going to be over the second lav of ki nefesh u'oichel. Yudah amar, chobo rechayim loike achas, v'rechev loike achas, rechayim v'rechev loike shtayim. Meaning, if you take the rechayim or the rechev, you're only going to be over the rechayim and the rechev respectively. You're not going to also be over the general lisser of ki nefesh u'oichel. Ki nefesh u'oichel. When are you over ki nefesh u'oichel? If you take the baker's oven, then you'll be over ki nefesh u'oichel. So the Gemara, lema Abaye v'Rava b'pukti Rav Huna Rav Yehuda g'milfi. It would appear at first glance that Abaye v'Rava argued the same machloikis of Rav Huna Rav Yehuda. Amar Rava, Rava said, achal no, if somebody eats the Korban Pesach had to be eaten roasted. Ki im tzliyesh. It had to be eaten roasted. If you cooked it, or if you ate it na, which means semi-cooked, you were over an isser. It says in the Torah, "Atoichle mimenu na," so you're not allowed to eat it half-cooked. Ubashal mevushal amayim, you can't eat it completely cooked. How are you supposed to eat it? Ki im tzliyesh, you're supposed to eat it roasted. So Rava said, "Achal na, if you ate it half-cooked, loike shnayim." Mishum na, u'mishum ki im tzliyesh. So similar to the previous Gemara, the way Rava read the pasuk was, "Atoichle mimenu na, ubashal mevushal amayim, and ki im tzliyesh," is going back on al toichlu, that if you eat it in any way that's not sliyesh, you're over a lav. So when you eat it no, you're over the mefurish isra of toichlu menu no, and you're over this lav shebeklolos of eating it in a way that's not sliyesh. So al toichlu no, one lav, al toichlu ubashal mevushal, it's a second lav mentioned in the pasuk, and kiyam sliyesh, don't eat it in a way that's not sliyesh, it's a third lav mentioned in the pasuk. So just because you're over the first doesn't mean you're not over the third. So Rava said, achal no, loike shnayim, mishum no, mishum kiyam sliyesh. Mevushal, if you ate it completely cooked, loike shnayim, again two, mishum mevushal, umishum kiyam sliyesh. No, umevushal, loike shalosh. Mishum no, umishum mevushal, umishum leisechlenu kiyam sliyesh. Abaye amar, Abaye said, ain loike an alav shabakol. So we'll see more about this tomorrow. But Abaye said, you can't get malchus in this case for kiyam sliyesh. Because kiyam sliyesh included already no and bashal mevushal. So once you're getting malchus already for not eating it properly, you're getting malchus for eating it half cooked. How could you get malchus again for kiyam sliyesh? So kiyam sliyesh maybe could be marba other things. But it can't be including no, ubashal mevushal. Because you're already getting malchus for eating it, na ubashal mevushal. Thus, According to Abaya, you're going to only get Malkus once if you eat it. No? Once if you eat it, Bashal Mavosho says the Gornalim Abaya, Damak Rav Yehuda, Virav Adamak Rav Huna. Isn't this machloikis of whether if somebody eats the Karban Pesach, no? Could he get, does he get Malkus for Kiyam Sliyesh? Totally the machloikis, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda on Amar Aleph. Where if somebody is Chayvel Reichayim, does he also get Malkus for Kinefesh Uoichel? According to Rav Huna, that you're Loikishtayim when you Chaval Reichayim, meaning even though you're getting Malkus for Layachvel Reichayim, still you're going to get Malkus for Kinefesh Uoichel. So then it makes sense. So too by the Karban Pesach. Al Toichlam Imenu, no, you're getting Malkus feeding it, no. You're also going to get Malkus a second time for Kiyam Sliyesh. But according to Rav Yehuda that said, Chavar Rechaim Loifka Achas, you're only going to get Malkus once, because once you're getting Malkus for Layach for Rechaim, you can't get Malkus for Kinefesh Uchayvel. Then so too over here, you should only get Malkus once. Salem Abaya Domek Rav Yehuda. Rav will tell you, no, the Amr Filik Rav Yehuda. I said my opinion, even according to Rav Yehuda. Ad Kamakam Rav Yehuda Asam. What did Rav Yehuda say on Amar Aleph? That once you're getting Malkus for Layach for Rechayim, you're not going to get Malkus also for Kol Dover, that's Oichol Nefesh. Over there he says it, Ela Dechi Nefesh Hu Choyvel Le Mashma Rechayim Berechev. Because Ki Nefesh Hu Choyvel is not including Rechayim Berechev, because he already mentioned Rechayim Berechev. Torah said don't take Rechayim Berechev, or anything else. Anything else is not including Rechayim Berechev, it's including anything else. Anything that's not Rechayim Berechev. So why if you take the Rechayim and the Rechev, should you get Malkus for ki nefesh u'eichel? Nefesh u'eichel is not coming to include that. So you'll get Malkus if you take the baker's oven. But you're not going to get Malkus if you take the Rechayim. Because ki nefesh u'eichel is not coming to include the Rechayim, because the Torah already said nefurish Rechayim. Aval hocha, but over here, kiyam tzliyesh l'may asa. There's nothing tzliyesh could be coming to be marba beyond na umavushal. You could either cook it, semi-cook it, or roast it. Now, I thought you could fry it, maybe other things you could do. So we'll see about that tomorrow. But at first glance, deep fried with the... So at first glance, it doesn't seem like there's anything else you could do. So if it doesn't seem like there's anything else you could do, it must be another lav. It must be another lav. That's why, shmami no lav. If you eat the Karban Pesach, no, half cooked, you're going to get Malkus twice. Rabbi says, I could spin it just the opposite. Another Ami Afili Rav Huna. Could be, I'm saying my opinion according to Rav Huna. I can't come Rav Huna Hassam. When did Rav Huna say his halacha? That you would get Malkus twice. El dechi nefesh u'chayvel yiseiruhu. Because ki nefesh u'chayvel is extra. Meaning it's for sure coming to teach me a lav, says Rashi. And even though it's coming to teach me a lav, the shar dvarim. But once I know that if you take the baker's oven from ki nefesh u'chayvel, you get Malkus. So I'll tell you that if you take the rechayim, you're also going to get a second lav. Given the yiseiruhu, shad yirechayim v'rechet. It's also going to be for rechayim v'rechet. Take a look at the top Rashi. Meaning, I know for sure ki nefesh u'chayvel is coming to teach me a lav. So once I know it's teaching me a lav, so it teaches me a lav even for something that I didn't need it for. I don't need ki nefesh u'chayvel to tell me there's a lav if you take the rechayim v'rechet. True, because it says in Mefurish in the Torah, but there is a lav of kinefesh u'eichel, and rechaim v'rechev is included in kinefesh u'eichel. Thus, says Abai, it makes sense that you should get a second malchus for taking the rechaim v'rechev, mitzad v'yach v'rechaim v'rechev, and mitzad kinefesh u'eichel. Aval hocha over here, kim sleish lav, you say, it's not a lav at all. It's not coming to teach me lav. The Mimboi lechid etanya, I need it for something else. B'shoshi yesh nebekum achol sli, yesh nebeval teichel. The only time you're over the isser for cooking the Karban Pesach or eating it half cooked is if it's done at the time when you are supposed to eat the Karban Pesach, at the Zman Achilas Karban Pesach. But if you're Eine Bebal Teuchel, B'shoshe Yesh Nebekum Echol Tzli, Yesh Nebal Teuchel, no. B'shoshe Eine Bekum Echol Tzli, but if it's not the time that you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach, Eine Bebal Teuchel, no, then you're not over the Isser. Meaning, says Abayo, Ki Nefesh Hu Oichel is certainly a lav. The Shaila is, should it be another lav for Layach L'Rechaim B'Rechet, or should it only be a lav for everything that's not Rechaim Berechem? Says Abaya, once we establish that it's for sure a lav, we'll include it for Rechaim Berechem as well. That was Shittas Rav Huna. The reason I hold over here, it's different, is because Kiyam Sliyesh is not a lav. It's coming to teach me something else. It's coming to explain and limit Al Toich L'Mimenu No, Basham Uvushim Amayim. When is there a lav of Al Toich L'Mimenu No, Basham Uvushim Amayim? Kiyam Sliyesh. If you do it at the time that you were supposed to eat the Karban Pesach. If it's not the time you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach, you're not ever lav. The point is, we don't know for sure it's a lav. If you don't know it's a lav, then there's no reason to say that you'd get another Malkus if you didn't the Karban Pesach, no Mavushal, and we will pick up tomorrow on this note.